reason.
Okay. So you're going to be picking up on this point with the talk tomorrow. Can you give us some preview of what your conclusion will be and some of the key points to your argument?
Sure. So, I mean, one key argument is really this argument. So many climate scientists, they worry that double counting is wrong, so that you can't use data for estimation or calibration, as they call it, and confirmation. And the key point, so one of the main key points of the talk tomorrow is that, at least in the Bayesian framework, that's completely fine. There's nothing to be worried about. I mean, double counting is natural and indeed happens all the time, and it says it should be. It's legitimate. But that's just one message. I mean, the second message then is really, so there's all this talk in climate science about, you know, the problems with calibration and confirmation and double counting, and so you wonder, what are these debates about if double counting is fine? And the second part of the talk is about that and highlights really what I take to be major problems arising in climate science concerning calibration information.
Okay.
And, yeah, yeah.
So the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has released this fifth assessment report, and much of the inferences they're drawing about climate change as it's happening now and as it's projected rely on modeling methods. Do these modeling programs that they're using use the kind of methodology that you're focusing on?
Yeah, very much so. So that's the interesting thing, as I said. I mean, I decided to work on the topic because as a climate scientist, wanted to discuss with philosophers about that. So you actually find, fortunately, I mean, that when, that's in my talk tomorrow too, I give examples of two normal journal publications in climate science where they just naturally do double counting, because they think that's just the way things should be. But they do it, of course, they're not conceptually aware that they're doing it. It's just something they do in their paper methodologically. And so you can, in a way, see what the Bayesian framework is telling you just is naturally done in the climate sciences anyway. Then, of course, the question is, and the discussion is, I mean, some climate scientists then still raise worries about these very papers where they say, well, isn't there something wrong in these very papers where double counting happens? And so then my answer would be, at least from the Bayesian framework, actually no, there might be other problems. You know, that's the second part of the talk. There are actually other problems with calibration and confirmation, but it's not double counting, which is the problem.
Okay, very interesting about Charlotte's work.
Well, I'd be interested to know what's the exciting thing that you're looking forward to doing in the near future.
Oh, yeah, okay, lots of things, of course. But, I mean, as it concerns climate science, I mean, I have a project running now on definitions of climate, which is actually very... I mean, it sounds so, you might think, oh, well, it's clear what the definition of climate is, but once you look at the climate community, you actually find that there are two very different notions. One is the more intuitive notion that you say, well, climate is an average over time, something like a distribution over time. But the other is really saying, well, I quantify my uncertainty about the present values of the climate variables, like temperature, and then I evolved it forward to the time where I want to make predictions like 2100. And that's also a distribution, but this is really an ensemble distribution. It's really very different from what I call distribution over time. And the literature is quite divided, so some really like the former concept and some the latter. And actually the prediction people very much like the latter and think that's the climate. But I think that it's problematic for, I mean, the reasons I discussed those in my this is the work I'm doing now, you know, because you have this kind of notions dependent on your knowledge of the initial values. It does not have anything to do with the past records of the observations. So you're in a weird situation to think, well, the past records of observation don't tell you much about the climate. So all kinds. But it's a really interesting topic, I think. Because obviously, I mean, it was recently I came across from the House of Commons in London, in the UK, where so it was a policy report, but policymakers and they were so confused about the different notions of climate use, so they don't really know what to do now or say now, because because, you know, there seemed to be such a disagreement. And so it's a topic which is even, you might say, recognized. It's then in the report saying, well, we really need to make sure that everyone understands the same thing by climate, I think, which is true. Because if you use that second notion to talk to policymakers, they usually have something completely different in mind. And if you say that's the climate of 2100, then they will think it's something really different. And that's problematic. And otherwise really continues on my... And this was Bayesianism and calibration and confirmation and double counting, and I have some future... actually, we're working on that, Katie Steele and I. I mean, we worked on that project and we'll continue working on that. Really, the question, what happens with double counting and this idea of use novelty once you go to model selection theory, which is a different framework. And you find the conclusions are somewhat similar, but in important respects also actually quite different. And that's interesting. It suggests, and I think that's true, it suggests that really what you also think about double counting is it depends on your the framework of confirmation you adopt for the specific scenario at hand. And but that's something to be done in the future. But apart from that, I have also, of course, also working on foundations of statistical mechanics. I have some more work done on that, on the concept of equilibrium. But yeah. So these are roughly the projects I'm working on now and plan to work in the future.
In terms of the two definitions of climate, so the first one was something like a mean over time?
You might not say really mean because you want more, you want the distribution.
Yeah.
You know, mean, you might think it's just the mean temperature, but no, you also want the variance. You want really the full distribution. But it's basically what you have in mind. It's like the distribution over time. The distribution arises when you evolve the system over time.
You
just have the mean in mind. It's one thing, but you know, the distribution is a mean and it's a variance.
Moment. So then the crucial difference is, are you looking over some period of time or just at 2100?
Yes, but also, I mean, that's one crucial difference, but the setup is really different. You know, the one is just saying, well, I start with the theoretical idea. So the first is really saying, well, the climate system is now in that state. I move it forward maybe for 30 years and then look at distribution arising over time. That's much more what you usually learn at school. And it's actually not that easy. There are some subtle details. But the rough idea is quite intuitive, and I think what usually policymakers have in mind. The second one is, it's not only that you say this is the climate at 2050 or 2100, but you actually start with your uncertainty in the initial conditions now. It would be like saying, well, I've measured the temperature between, maybe today, between 15 and 15.1 degrees. Give my probability distribution, which quantifies that uncertainty, then evolve it forward. That's, the whole setup is just very different, you know. It's because it starts with this, it's dependent on the knowledge. And that's, of course, where philosophers are concerned. You don't want that as philosophers. I mean, philosophers, I think, are quite, with all the philosophers I've talked about, they all say, well, we don't want the climate to be dependent on our knowledge. You know, if our knowledge now became better, we don't want that the climate of 2100 changes. But that, the definition does imply that. You can't exclude that. Climate scientists don't bother so much. They say, well, yeah, it's dependent on knowledge. Well, but, you know, it means that climate and climate change is dependent on the knowledge. And that's something... You might say the prediction of climate change depends on knowledge, but not
you
the
would
climate
to say
change.
That.
Yeah. So, but the climate people, I mean, it's kind of
interesting.
I thought when I talked to the climate people, they will be quiet, saying, well, you're right, but not at all. They just say, well, it's obviously a better definition. That's obviously, you know, much easier in predictions. The other definition is just really, you know, old hat. And so they don't mind about being it being dependent. I'll still stick to it because I still might.
Yeah.
I don't know if there might be some complicated things going on in there about the relationship between the model system and the real world system that's being represented. Maybe when they talk about climate in this sense, maybe they're talking about the model system rather than the
Yeah, but then, you know, you could say, well, they're talking here about climate in a model. But then you would say, well, the true climate is the climate for the true model. And you don't avoid these problems, you know, because then... you can do the same thing. You can say, actually, distribution over time, you can, of course, put it in a model. You know, that's your distribution, that's your climate concept one in your model. I don't think you can change anything or you will rescue things by saying it's climate in a model. The real climate is always the climate of the true model. So it's also for the time average, for the ensemble average. That doesn't help you much. You can make the move. I mean, some make the move when I really press them and they say, well, maybe it's true that something is weird on climate depending on the uncertainty. They say, well, that's the expected climate. And technology. But then if this is the expected climate, what's the climate? Then probably the climate is just a point, you know, the state of the climate variables at 2100. Mm-hmm. But it's the weather. You know, then it's just saying, well, today we, or in the year we have this, today we have 15 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's not the climate. Then that's not caused by anything. I would just say, I would just say that the debate is saying, well, these ensemble definitions, these are useful concepts, but it's just predictively useful concepts, which are certainly not the climate. Mm-hmm. Just the expected values of the climate variables, like expected temperature on that specific day or that specific year, but not the climate.
So I have a question. So you were doing work on climate and statistical mechanics as well, but I saw you are also doing some work on determinism.
Oh, yes, yeah, I did that too, yes.
So, all right, do you have any iron right now? Or anything else that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few things I'm working on. I'm quite interested in, and I was saying that to Wayne before, I mean, I'm quite interested in the question of, you know, deterministic probabilities, right, and how to understand, like, in statistical mechanics, you have probabilities, or at least probability measures in a deterministic context, how to understand that. And one thing is the method of arbitrary functions, and I recently did some work on, not as interpreting probability measures, so what are formally probability measures, not as probability, but as typicality measures, which actually is something different. And I want to now compare, this is one of the work I'm doing, this more typicality-based accounts with especially statistical mechanics. You know, there has been, when Wayne has been doing work and Frick and Höfer on method of arbitrary function, saying that's the notion of probability we need in statistical mechanics. And then I've recently done some work in statistical mechanics, saying we can interpret these measures not as probability measures, but as typicality measures, and again, given some axioms motivating that. And I think it's now really interesting to compare these accounts and the strengths and weaknesses of them. And in determinism, really, I mean, I'm still very interested in the topic. I mean, one issue which interested me is, in climate science, you also have that issue that you use deterministic models and stochastic models. There's Tim Palmer, for instance, from the UK, who very much advocates the use of stochastic models, so statistics, and says that these models have, you know, certain benefits that you can't have with the deterministic models. And it would be quite interesting to look at that and really see what these benefits are and whether this is really true. Because he thinks there's something unique of, you know, unique advantages in climate methodology once you use stochastic models. Mm. But I haven't started that account, so I can't say what the conclusion would be. Yes.
So you mentioned in passing working on the concept of equilibrium.
Yes.
Just talk a little about
sure.
That.
Yes. So that's. I mean, this is really on, you know, statistical mechanics, especially Boltzmann statistical mechanics. So if you're a grad student or generally someone entering the field and you read the books, they write equilibrium corresponds to the largest volume of phase space in terms of the measure. So. And that's just that's the way people work. It's in Boltzmann's combinatorial argument. But then, of course, intuitively speaking, you wonder, so why the largest volume of space, phase space? So intuitively, equilibrium has something to do with how long a system spends in a certain state. And it's not clear what that connection is. I mean, and as a Boltzmann statistical mechanics, that's not really discussed. It's just deposited as the largest volume of phase space, and that's it. And so the question is, I mean, this is work I actually did now in the past a few weeks and months. The question is, how can you connect these two different notions of equilibrium? And then I think what I came up with, you can actually give a general proof, a very general proof, that this more intuitive notion of the system spends a certain time as equilibrium is the state the system spends most of its time, roughly speaking, that this actually gives you just this notion of largest region of phase space. You can actually prove that from the one you arrive at the other. And what's interesting, you can prove that, I mean, everyone I talked to so far says, well, that's clear that you can prove this once you assume something like ergodicity or epsilon, I guess, ergodicity, you know, for these strong dynamical conditions, you can prove that. But that proof is actually completely independent of the dynamics. So it just needs what it needs, and but that's of course normal, it needs that there is such a state, a macro state, where the system spends most of its time. You know, there's some, if you just take the identity function or some functions, there isn't such a state at all, but then you don't run into the problem. And that's one of, and I think that's nice because you know, the existing accounts are something like, well, agreement was something to do with the Max-Mohr-Boltzmann distribution, but the Max-Mohr-Boltzmann distribution is only about certain systems. I mean, there are lots of systems and they're in equilibrium, but it's not the Max-Mohr-Boltzmann distribution. It's just for a certain class of systems. And other accounts are, as I said, I mean, this largest region of phase space where people say, well, it's the largest number of microstates compatible with a certain macrostate, that should be equilibrium, but as I said, that's intuitive and not clear. So it provides this intuitive connection. Mm-hmm. And with the just very general theorem of ergodic theory, and I think that's a very nice thing. So.
Okay. I think we have a lot of
material.
A few things, I guess.
Yeah. So.